Today is February the 21st, 2023. I'm Jen Widener with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library, conducting interviews for pandemic perspectives. Jeffersonville residents recount their lives during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. This project was made possible with a grant from the Indiana Genealogical Society. I'm here today with Nicole Linford Sharp. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me.
What is it that you do for a living?
I'm a hairdresser. I own Balance Holistic Salon and Spa, and I've come down to just me in a suite now.
Do you remember when you first heard about COVID?
Yes. I was in the salon, very naive to it, and I had a client kind of warn me that it's coming. And so, yeah, it made me go home and rethink it.
So I guess as a hairdresser, you do get kind of like insider track on things.
Yeah, yeah.
People tell you stuff.
She's a nurse practitioner and just kind of gave me her thoughts on it. And we had just moved into the new space and expanded. So that was really scary. How is this going to affect us? Just spent a lot of money on construction. I have 4 or 5 girls at the time working under me, depending on, you know, a space. And I knew if we closed down, I'd still have to pay rent and all these things. So I got nervous pretty quickly after talking to her.
So, I mean, you knew it was coming to Southern Indiana. You knew it was going to be here.
I mean, why would it?
Right. Not? I mean, so many times, you know, we heard that, oh, it's on the West Coast. And
yeah.
Why would it not get here?
that would be naive. But we opened up, and 6 weeks later was when the shutdown was.
That was my next question. How did your job change during the pandemic? You guys immediately closed for 6 weeks?
Well, the 2 weeks, which at first was great. I could use 2 weeks off. And why we even thought, well, after the 2 weeks,
it'll be gone. But
yeah. So looking back, it's so silly sometimes. But I mean, I couldn't work from home. I couldn't do a haircut over Zoom. So it changed a lot. And then if my hairdressers could come in, it affected all of us. So when we came back, we had protocols like anybody else. And we had sanitation lined up because, I mean, that one-on-one, everything had to be perfect. So
yeah, you guys couldn't keep 6 feet between you and your client. It's
right,
like you're doing
right.
Hair. And
exactly. So we both have our mask on. You had to sanitize before walking into the salon altogether. Anyways, I had baggies for each client that had comb, clips, towel, and a cape. And each one that came in, I'd open it, use that for the client, and then it all get thrown in a wash. So that was something we could do, or we did. And I sent out all of the protocols to all the clients so that they would get it ahead of time. So I think they were very impressed with how we did things, and I actually got 2 hairdressers from other salons who were not as strict on the protocols. So
So these protocols come down from like the Indiana State Board of Hairdressers? Or?
So yes, I followed that. And then I followed common sense, you know, decided to think on my own. That seemed to work out pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but there's a bunch of different sites and different ideas, and just kind of came up with what I thought, you know, worked best. And we did really good. We never had an outbreak with the other hairdressers.
Oh, good. Very good.
Yes. So, yeah, that worked out.
So how long did you keep all those protocols in place?
Gosh, I feel like the last few years was just a blur.
I know.
So.
Well, when I first started coming to you, we were still sanitizing our hands and wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in
2021.
Like,
yeah,
like fall of 21.
Mm-hmm. So it seemed like it gradually, as we became more educated on the virus, we still did new capes with every client, but I didn't seal them up and you know, do that. Yeah, the hand sanitizing, pretty much everything stayed the same, even longer than other places started opening things up. So we did that quite a bit. And then, you know, at some point the masks were lifted. But even now, I mean, if you have the sniffles, just go ahead and put a mask on.
Absolutely.
Right. And I do the same. Even if my asthma was bad, it was causing me to cough, well, I'm just going to put one on, so there's no question. And just a peace of mind, I think, is respectful. So I didn't have a lot of negative feelings towards that. I just wanted to respect my clients.
So I know I had heard from other people in your same business that products were hard to come by, or the prices went sky high.
Mm-hmm. That's still a problem. Yeah. Yes. I mean, everything's so expensive now, but I think it was the individual ingredients, like tea tree. You couldn't come by some of the ingredients to make the product. Okay. So that's where some of that. Now it's probably some shipping and things as well. But, yes, at the time there was just certain ingredients and certain things we just couldn't get. So we had other options, you know, try to be comparable with that. And we ship products to clients that we couldn't see. So shampoos and things. Some people bought gift certificates. That was helpful. Give us a little bit of
absolutely, yeah.
Income. I definitely feel like we were the forgotten field, you know, by the government, and we weren't given any kinds of loans or grants. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it got better. But being self-employed and having booth renters, because they weren't considered employees, I didn't make the cut for quite.
You couldn't apply for any of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so. Having the construction loan and the emergency fund that I had for that and some other things in place, by the time COVID, you know, 2020 was done, emergency funds were done. And so when other things started going wrong, our air conditioner going out, I had no emergency funds because nothing was ever given to me. I had to use my own money. And that's when I closed my big salon and just downsized to just me now in a suite because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, I think people didn't realize that there were a lot of people who owned their own businesses that didn't get any loans because mm-hmm. of things like you said. It just, by the time it got to you, there wasn't any left.
Right, right.
So were you able to, the people that rented from you, were they able to move on to other salons or?
No, because, I mean, we were all under the same protocol, having the same issues, and we couldn't get unemployment when everyone else got it. And I'm very fortunate that my husband's a firefighter, and he can, you know, take care of us, but single mothers and, you know, or just one income. And all of a sudden your income's taken away, what are you going to do? How are you going to pay for rent? And it was just some really hard times. Yeah.
So, as you said, your husband is a firefighter. Did his job affect the way you all did things at home, or was he offline by then? I don't know when he became the deputy chief.
He moved into another administrative position before that. And so he was home. He'd come home and take all of his clothes he wore to work and put in the dirty clothes straight to the shower before any of us even saw him. Kept the shoes outside, that sort of thing. It did affect because he's exposed to a lot more. So he had to be real diligent on that, not bringing things home. And he, you know, still went to work every day. So
I mean, even if he wasn't, he was in an admin role too. He still was around firefighters,
mm-hmm.
and other first responders who've been out working, interacting with people that we didn't know at the time had
right.
COVID or.
And trying to come up with the protocols for the department and, you know, doing those things. So he was definitely busy, you know. And I think there was probably a lot more calls, a lot more runs then. So, yeah.
What have you learned from the pandemic? Good, bad.
Well, a lot of people did come out and support hairdressers, not necessarily the government, but, you know, other people in the society as a whole. I started seeing more respect for that, because then when you couldn't get your hair cut or hair done, oh, this person's actually really important.
Yeah, well, if you colored your hair every 4 to 6 weeks and then you couldn't color your hair every 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes. Oh. So, although, I mean, my clients have always loved and respected me. I never had to feel that way with my people. But I'm just saying in general.
As a whole, yeah.
As a whole. Yeah. And, you know, and I've always believed in having an emergency fund. I didn't know. Had any idea it would be for a pandemic.
Right.
But still to have one, especially if what you do isn't necessarily supported, you know, to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. To think for yourself, as much as everything changed all the time. Some of it was just silly. And, just to protect yourself, no one else is going to do it type thing. And self-employment's hard. Having your own business is hard.
Anytime, but during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it's not, it's hard.
It's hard, right.
You know,
right.
I forbid you get sick or something. But yeah, this was big time, and it affected me because I had no funds and I had to close. So all those people had to move and go to new places, and yeah, lost a lot of money.
What do you hope people will continue to do now that we're pretty much out of the pandemic? What do you hope that people will keep doing?
Washing their hands.
Yes, that's what everybody says. Just wash your hands.
Right. I think just being more empathetic, especially to people who have the immune compromise. My mother still wears her mask, and she gets made fun of in public. She'll get mobbed. She's, you know, and you're almost 70-year-old woman with immune compromise issues here. I don't know why anyone would make fun of
her. Well, as you saw when you came in, I had on a mask. Mm-hmm. My boss had on a mask. She has cancer. Mm-hmm. So I try and just keep her safe. Not everybody wears a mask around here. That's their choice.
Yes.
I don't want to risk getting her sick.
Yep.
I don't want to get sick with anything. I have to go home to my almost 80-year-old mom who mm-hmm. has health issues.
Yeah. This is not a political thing. This is nothing more than staying healthy and being your own advocate.
Yeah, I still always have a mask in
right.
my bag. Or, yeah, just I just gauge, like, is there a lot of people here? Is, mm-hmm. you know, do I feel safe? Like, mock me. I don't care. Like,
yeah, right. And if a client has a mask, I always ask, do you
Absolutely.
Want me to wear a mask as well? Or I'll just do it. But, yeah, just, again, just being kinder, more understanding.
Yeah, because we don't know what people are going through. I mean, maybe somebody has anxiety and the mask makes them feel better. Maybe
mm-hmm.
they're sick. Maybe they have a sick relative. Whatever. Like, it doesn't hurt anybody else if somebody's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Like.
Right.
In the future, let's say 50, 100 years from now, somebody's listening to this, reading the transcripts, what would you like them to know about the pandemic from your perspective?
I think we had an opportunity as a country to come together, and we didn't. And it made things even worse. And just looking back in history, and you see, you know, times during the war, or, you know, with the Greatest Generation, you know, they had to be, and everyone came together. And I think it's a shame that that didn't work for us, you know, or even 9/11, if you wanted to come to something closer to, you know, current, to see the country come together, and then the pandemic, it just wasn't. And I hope that we can all be kind again to one another. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming down here today.
You're welcome.